This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
Do you need a ride? 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 Do you need a ride?
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
If you're just tuning in now, you missed the last couple episodes. We are back in the car. It's very exciting. We're leaving Karen's house to pick up Roz Hernandez.
Today's guest of Ghosted by Roz Hernandez podcast, Roz Hernandez.
And I've been on Ghosted. I can't remember, much like a ghost, my story just dissipated into the air like a spiritual dandelion spore.
Your story was fuzzy at the bottom and had no shoes because it wasn't really there.
Yes, and I don't know why, but in preparation, like I'm just going to bombard her with ghosty talks. I've been watching sightings. I started with, because we're in a car, the ghosts in Japan after the tsunami in 2011, who were getting into taxis. This journalist talked to like 100 taxi drivers, and seven of them all had stories of wet young people getting in the car.
Yep.
And then they get to the destination, no one's there.
Yep. That's also on an episode of Unsolved Mysteries.
Which was funny because it's all murders, and then all of a sudden there was a very interesting, what I felt like could have been a longer documentary.
Oh yeah, I think it should be.
Ghost taxis. I went down a wormhole, and the problem is when there's footage, like there was so much footage of ghosts.
What?
Oh, wow.
I mean,
you're just a guy that, you know what? And if you drive a BMW out there, I'm sure you're not, because if you listen to this podcast, you're like-minded and you're not an aggressive traveler. But I'm afraid a lot of BMW drivers are, hey,
entitled.
I am, me first.
Well, and also what that guy did is the classic, and I'd really like to bring this up to our listenership. If you're driving in a car and you're trying to pull out into traffic and you're looking to the right, you have to also look to the left.
Yes.
It's the rule.
Yep.
And I think the rule is right, left, right, or left, right, left.
Which I've my whole life, I've tripled that. I go right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left. I look like a lunatic.
Yes. But it's only so that you don't, because my big crash in the Honda Fit back in 2017, I don't know if you remember that, where I pulled out in front of someone. I went right, left, right. And then there was a lady who was waiting to make a left turn around me. And I was at a stop sign. She was not. And she waved me to go. Like, you're fine. Go ahead. And I went and pulled out in front of someone and got T-boned.
Oh, see, I bet she was a ghost.
Ooh.
Yeah, getting revenge.
Never considered it.
Yeah, this is how I died, and now this is how you're going.
Ooh, that was Ken Marino. We just drove by Ken Marino, the actor.
Ken Marino from the catering show?
Yes. The catering show.
Of which the name I can't remember.
Party Down.
Party Down.
And he's also on the other two as the hilarious manager, who I love. And he was just driving. And I noticed him because he was driving in a Tesla. And you can really see people sitting in their seat. And it was that guy.
Yeah. It's they're just like us. We're in a Tesla.
They're just exactly like us.
Karen, you're a celebrity too.
Oh, not like Ken Marino.
Hold on
a
minute. I don't. There's certain, in certain rooms, I'm a bit of a Ken Marino.
Hell yes, you are.
Because I wear short jeans shorts like he did in Wet Hot American Summer sometimes.
In certain rooms.
That's really all I have in common with him, just mainly because he's so much taller. Was he?
He's big.
Could you tell he was tall in the car?
No, I was just mesmerized by his face.
In my car, you can crank up the height of the seat. Like, there's a little pump on the side.
Oh, yeah.
And I have it to the very tallest. So I look like I'm tall while driving. Sometimes I'm hunched over.
Yeah.
And people are less likely to do a me first slow down in front of me like that guy did. And they're like, oh, that guy looks like 6'4". But they don't know about my little legs.
They don't know they're being tricked. You're like a ventriloquist puppet driving a car.
Or a faraway magician.
Oh, I have to tell you just a brief story about going to dinner last night.
Keep it brief.
As brief as possible. but I love details.
Yeah.
Went to dinner with Danielle Kramer, COO of the Exactly Right Network. And I ordered chicken. I wasn't that hungry. They gave me literally like 8 pieces of chicken. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. And so then I was like, can I take this to go?
Were these fingers or thighs or?
I believe they were thighs, actually. They were really good, but I only ate one. And so I took the box to go. And when I got home, the dogs were very happy to see me, got a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. I went right to bed because it was like 10 o'clock.
Uh-oh.
And Blossom didn't come in the way she always does. And I'm like, what are you doing? Get in here. Like, what? Where else are you? That's so weird. And when she came in, she was licking her lips and licking her.
Oh,
and I'm
boy.
Like, what did you do? So then when I got into this car today to get us ready for this record, I noticed there was chicken grease all over this console, all over your seat. So the box that I'd taken it in, they must have been like, well, here's a great part of this chicken is this super greasy sauce.
Oh.
And basically it spilled out without me knowing, and the car had been covered in like chicken sauce.
So no chicken was consumed. They just got the greasy juices.
Yes, I think my purse had a lot of chicken grease on the outside of it, and I probably tracked some in, you know, from the driveway.
This is actually good news. I thought I had had an accident squeaking around.
You're eating those Oleo chips. What were those?
Yes. Yeah. They did. They caused anal leakage?
Yes.
Olean. Yeah. The Wow Ruffles Wow
we
potato
all thought,
chicks.
We all thought overweight had been solved.
Yes. It was the, I can't remember the miracle drug that everyone's taking. That's current.
Ozempic.
Yeah. This was like a delicious Ozempic, except it caused, and I'm not here to be graphic, but in a medical way, it caused foamy.
Oh.
Leakage.
I never heard foamy.
Yeah. Well, that's from not first person experience. It was my last stepmother.
Second person. Your last stepmother.
Yes.
Your most recent?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. The one before the most recent. I've made it an effort to have the most stepmothers.
How many do you have so far?
There's only been 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like the counting now.
Yes. Yeah, I am keeping it. I have hash marks above my prison bed. One time, my cousin and best friend, we found out later when I found him at a family reunion.
Is that true? Wait.
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
From childhood.
You heard it.
I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Sixth grade, he was one of my best. I know it sounds like there should be banjos playing in the background. He was a cool kid. Skateboarder, and he became a professional snowboarder, but he's my good friend, and in sixth grade we met, and then later that year I went to a family reunion at Flathead Lake, and he was there, and we found out that his uncle was my mother's cousin.
Oh my God. Oh wait, this is starting to sound familiar.
Yes.
You've told me this before.
It was new to us because of our memory problems.
Everything's kind of new. But, hey, about a left-right-left situation I just put myself into here.
I'm hoping you extend your right arm like I'm a fragile bag of breakable books.
I mean, I'm never going to get across in this way. There's just too much.
But it was, you're doing good. Ooh. Oh, man, this car is some silent get up and go.
Yeah.
His dog on Christmas ate an entire honey baked ham. An entire, it was a little cocker spaniel, ate an entire.
Your cousin friend?
The dog, his dog.
No, I know.
Yes. My cousin slash friend didn't get a bite of ham, and neither did any humans because the dog, and was on his back, barely breathing, almost ate to death.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
Had to be rushed to a hospital. Like, imagine being to where it's like, now's my chance. I used to eat like that when I was younger.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know when I'm going to have a giant plate of spaghetti in the next 48 hours. I better eat it all now, even though all signs are showing me to stop.
Like, yeah, that's the hardest when you either are hungry and worried about the next time you're going to eat, or you're just kind of scarred from like that experience. That was my childhood experience where it's like, I'm going to leave school. I ate it like a bologna and cheese sandwich at 12:30. I'm going to leave school at 3:30. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
And the next time somebody's going to provide anything for me is 7 p.m. at the earliest.
Right.
That's not great.
Yeah. So you were like that too. It's like I would hoard food, but with my mouth.
Yes. Or I would just always be on the kind of like the lookout of like,
right.
Do I have a quarter? Can I buy a Snickers? What's the situation?
I wouldn't have overeaten if someone would finally invent a refrigerated fanny pack.
Or just
sharks.
Go over the plan. Like,
yeah.
How much have you planned for your children today? It's 1981.
Yeah.
How much have you planned? Can you add anything in?
Here's my mother's plan. Open refrigerator, wet, half chopped in half tofu block.
Ooh.
What a plan.
No.
Let's see it through to the end. Well, it's okay. I'm not a passionate cook either.
Well, you can't be now.
No. But it's so funny when I think about that dog packed entirely with ham. I always think of that dog when someone mentions a curducken or turducken.
Oh, yeah.
Which is an animal shoved into another. I'm just thinking of dog meat on the outside of pig meat.
Yes.
I mean, I know the dog was uncomfortable, but if an airplane had crashed, and I know I bring up cannibalism a lot.
That would have been the perfect dog to eat?
Yeah, yeah. Just, I'm sorry, you're man's best friend and I've loved you forever, but there's ham inside
but
you.
You're a croque monsieur dog.
What is that?
That's that like French sandwich. That's ham and cheese.
Okay, I knew what that was and that's why I'm just laughing at the joke now.
No, don't.
Don't do that. I know now everyone knows that my fake laugh sounds exactly like my genuine laugh.
Also, they know you can't speak French.
Listen, we can't all be like our last guest, Reggie Watts.
Oh my God. Multilingual.
Yeah. Probably throws down a book or two every now and then.
Sure.
There are certain things I'm ashamed of, and taking 2 full years of Spanish and letting it all disappear like a tsunami ghost is one of them.
Well, but Reggie Watts was an Air Force brat, so he moved to several different countries. Like, I think he was acclimated to speaking other languages from childhood,
right.
Whereas you were acclimated to half a block of wet tofu in your childhood.
Yeah, that's all I had. That was my muscle memory. But
you're,
then later,
you're fluent in that.
In college, and my passion with Spanish was fulfilling a structural systems requirement. It was either that or statistics or something. I was in a math class taught by an army general. I'm not kidding. So all the statistics somehow were geared towards military things. And we had to make charts using a ruler. He didn't like calculators. He was the most old school
Jesus
military math teacher. Like the worst class ever. Like, you know, every civics course in high school is taught by a wrestling coach, or I got world history and government classes from wrestling coaches and football coaches.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why, but this was like a military math class, and I didn't want to buy the book. That's how little I respected the content. So I would get the book from the library, but it had been updated, so the page numbers progressively were off. Like, by the end of the book, I was like, to see where everyone else was on, oh, I'm 20 pages before you, because they learned more about this math. Whatever. Anyway, I knew I wouldn't pass, and so I went into Spanish. That fulfilled that requirement, which
so it was almost like a, it was a move out of desperation instead of passion for the language.
Right. But in order to, you know, college is, it's not easy. It wasn't for me. And to pass Spanish, I did have to learn and write it and understand it when spoken. And the fact that I went to Costa Rica and I didn't understand anything, although after 10 days there, and this was a decade ago or more, it was starting to come back.
Yeah.
Just conversationally.
They should have asked you where the library was. Then you would have been able to...
Do you mean the biblioteca? Oh, I hope that's not a dance club. Tocar la guitarra. Un zapato es muy bonita. Mi gato es muy feo. So what I said is, play guitar, your cat's ugly, my shoes are beautiful. That's all I got.
That's what you retained.
Yeah, yeah, that's all I retained.
I mean, when I was in Italy, and I'd literally taken like 3 rounds of Babbel, and then would ignore every prompt when the Babbel's like, learn a new word today, and I'm like, go fuck yourself, why? And so when we were there, I had that like, I wanted to be able to communicate so badly, it was embarrassing to me. And then I'm like, well, that's a really good, like, impetus to learn. Being kind of humiliated and needing to cover.
Right.
You know, I started picking up on context clues very quickly and, like, absorbing it because... I ran a yellow. We'll go around the block.
Yeah, we'll go around the block. That it was your idea. I'm repeating it as if to...
You're confirming like the co-pilot on a plane.
Yes.
And I appreciate it.
But it's one that doesn't... I'm just that inflatable one. Because I'm not doing much.
The dirty one from Airplane.
Yeah, yeah. That's not where an air nozzle goes.
I don't want to be a snob, but when we recorded... We just recorded with Reggie Watts yesterday, listener. So this is why we're kind of talking about it a lot. But... To be driving around Burbank instead of central Los Angeles is so nice.
Yeah.
I just love this town.
Yeah, at the end of the podcast, when we saw the man with 6 tears on his face, it isn't because he's a professional clown for children.
No.
And there's not a lot of tears on faces over here. Tattoos of them.
There's more of like, this is where all the guys who do the lights for... 2.5 Men live. There's a lot of crew people. There's a lot of union members and people who have made a good living with a great trade. It's that kind of shit.
Doing props for Hugh Laurie.
Yeah. That house cane doesn't show up on set by itself.
I always confuse. I'm thinking of Chuck Laurie. Oh. But he's the 2.5 Men guy, right?
Yep.
Okay. But Hugh Laurie's great.
But Hugh Laurie is nothing to shake a cane at. Oh, when, shit. Now I have to make a left turn on this weird...
It's
God
okay.
Damn it.
It's okay. It's a red arrow. That's reassuring. That means it's about to be a green arrow.
That's true. Yeah. It's controlled.
See, I am doing some co-piloting.
You are. For real.
Hugh Laurie, when I got my tonsils, I think I've mentioned this. The anesthesiologist who said, ooh, stand-up comedies, what's that like? And he was looking into my eyes as he put the needle in my arm and hit a nerve. He pulled a real House, you're a loose cannon, are you a real doctor? And he looked like House, but I didn't have the chance to tell him because it was so much pain, and then I was out. So the needle was in that nerve the whole surgery. Anyway, he's great, and if you ever do some YouTubing... Look up Hugh Laurie and his you know, British sketch comedy, because he was like...
A bit of Fry and Laurie.
A bit of Fry and Laurie? Mm-hmm. That is what it is.
I know.
Called.
Yes, it
I is. Thought you were saying when people go to YouTube, they should check out a bit of Fry and Laurie, like you're saying.
No.
The portion they should take in.
Well, if
just
it,
a bit.
Anything that might be on the Acorn BBC or BritBox channel, I'm going to know it.
Yeah.
That's where I spend all my time. That's like my skateboarding.
Yeah. Skateboarding's my skateboarding, but so is comedy and, you know, Fast and Furious drifting footage.
Oh, not doing it?
No, no. I stay clear. I stay clear, you know, when they block off an intersection and people... I do not know what I looked up. Maybe I was looking for a steering wheel cover. I don't know what it is that made my phone think that I am interested in that, but my algorithm shows me street drifting every other video. I don't know how to undo it or tell my phone this actually isn't an interest of mine. Do you know what I should do?
Maybe say it out loud.
Okay. Siri. Tom Cruise's daughter, are you listening?
Alexa, stop it.
Alexa, Siri.
Knock it off.
You're not getting dinner unless you have some in your refrigerated fanny pack. I just blurted that out, and I think it's actually a good invention.
How would you refrigerate it?
It has coils. It has a small, it's really essentially a small refrigerator, but rather than in a box of metal, it's cloth and it's a strap and you wear it around your waist.
Okay.
It's batteries.
Batteries.
Mm-hmm.
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 All right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sharks?
80%. 70%. You just yell percentages at them, right?
I don't know. I've only watched that, like, part of that show, and it was two women who were designing jewelry, and they were sisters, and they'd both been in the army. And somehow they thought both of them being in the army made that jewelry more appealing. And I was like, this hurts my feelings because I don't... This is like one of those things where you're like, nobody believed in it.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's, and this is being televised.
Yeah. I hate it when someone actually has a very bad idea. It hurts my feelings, like when you drive by a bad business idea that's closing. Like, Pants for Cats.
Oh, there she is, waiting.
Looking super cool. Those are cool glasses. They look like they're made of marshmallows. Hi, Roz.
You're so tinted. I didn't know if it was you.
Hi.
Oh, right.
Turn this shit up.
Hello. Hi.
You look cool.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
thank you. Yeah.
I thought at first your sunglasses were made entirely of mushrooms. Or marshmallows. Mushrooms.
Did you eat a mushroom? Is that why?
Yeah. A sweet and delicious mushroom, like on a s'more.
Oh, this car smells so new.
Does it?
Yeah, it's nice.
Because
wow.
We did have a chicken grease spill last night, and so I was afraid it was going to smell like that.
Don't worry, it was in my seat.
Oh, where'd you get chicken grease from?
It was...
Was there chicken too, or just the grease?
I got the chicken, I got the grease. It was in a to-go box that was... I mishandled, basically. And then discovered a little congealed pile of chicken grease in Chris's seat this morning.
Yeah, I had a friend do kind of a McBreakfast of some sort, grease stain on my seat that was there for like a couple of weeks, and I forgot about it, and we just got it scrubbed out, so everything's going great over here.
Perfect. I love to hear a victory story right off the bat.
How is everyone?
Good.
I'm terrific.
Good.
How are you?
Well, I'm pretty great. I was just listening to some Sheryl Crow. And all I want to do is have some fun.
Yay!
Really? Have you just rediscovered Sheryl Crow?
Or
have
yeah,
you
been... it's like, for some reason, I just haven't listened to Sheryl Crow in a minute. And then went to, you know, Sheryl Crow on some of the music apps. And then before I know it, I have a feeling I'm not the only one
yeah.
that wants to have some fun.
But if you go on random, eventually... her country duet with Kid Rock's going to come on.
Yeah. That is one that I skip.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we all make weird decisions.
Yeah.
But... I feel like Cheryl, and it's rude to ask you, so I was going to, but I won't, how old you were when the OG Cheryl Crow album came out, because it was when I first moved to LA. And truly, it was like every billboard, it was on every radio station, because it was like the early 90s. It was so pervasive and kind of like, you know, as a young rebel, I had to.
I wonder how Angeline felt about that.
she was getting serious
I'm
competition.
Sure anytime you bring up Sheryl Crow to her, it's a sore spot.
Yes.
Well, I've always been confronted by the fact that the sun does not come up over Santa Monica Boulevard.
Mm. Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, it would have to be running east-west, right?
Do you guys ever listen to Cheryl? Do you ever put on a little Cheryl Crow?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's good stuff. She's a really good songwriter.
She's truly unbelievable. And if you've ever seen her live, she is album perfect sounding and playing when she performs live. You can't...
I always appreciate that.
Yes. It's kind of crazy. I can't remember where I saw her, but I kept going, is she lip syncing? This is so... She's not missing.
Are you sure it wasn't a drag queen? It might have been.
With a weird perm and wig on?
Yeah. That place looks fun. There's a saloon with
doors. I'll tell you, that place is not fun.
Oh, really?
no, it is not.
You've been there?
No, but I've read the papers.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh,
that
wow.
is a place that had...
Gunfights?
No. Vaccine fights, actually.
Oh, wow.
They refused to shut down during COVID, and so the city shut them down.
Yeah, well.
And then it turned into protests and, rallies up and down the street.
Was everyone protesting dressed like a cowboy? Because I think it's hilarious that that's a business in Burbank made to look like an old, like they do reenactments. I always wanted to be cowboy gunfight reenactor, and it's my job every Wednesday to pretend to get shot and fall into a horse trough.
Mm. Now, don't you have a story about getting bit by a scorpion or
Please,
something?
I beg you.
No, I know. Listen, again, I'll remind you guys, I've been listening to the show for years.
And you just proved it, and I really appreciate it. Anyway, the year was 2000. Colin Farrell. I will not talk about that. I brought my cat. The cat had feline. What if I just did a greatest hits of everything?
Just one sentence each.
I'm here for it.
But you know, you're right. That did reinstill my childhood desire to be in a Western reenactment. Yes.
This Burbank, particularly this street, is, I think, the most interesting street in Los Angeles.
Yes.
We're driving down Magnolia Boulevard right now. Mm-hmm. And this is where you will find weird... Like the weirdest weirdos in the best way.
Yep.
And you'll find the gun people. For some reason, there's like three or four guns over
here.
There
are a lot of gun stores.
Wait a second. I'm so sorry. But is that JoJo Siwa's studio?
That is indeed JoJo Siwa's studio. One time I saw a car parked out front that had pictures of her, like, as part of the paint job. It was just, like, pictures everywhere of her.
And so is it, like, her dance or her, like, what kind of studio?
You know, I can't answer that question for you.
Okay.
But I have a question.
There's Holly Wolf dog groomer.
Oh, I love any, and I'll excuse it with any grooming.
Not to be confused with the one that I take my dog to, which is also on the street. It's called Pimp My Pooch.
Oh, I like it. The one in my hometown is called Cats Over Broadway. And there's like a film reel and cats, silhouettes of cats with little top hats.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's everything all at once.
You'll
everywhere.
Feeling like Mr. Mistopheles.
So it's basically saying, like, if you bring your cat here, your cat will look like a Broadway star.
Yeah, your cat's ready for stage. Not film, though.
5, 6, 7, 8.
They put little tap shoes on their paws.
The only reason I had that JoJo Siwa studio gave me such pause is because one time...
Thank you.
I just wanted to explain myself. One time when we were on vacation in Hawaii, we went to a bar and I drank Mai Tais and I... basically never drink, but I did it on vacation. And when I came home, I went to bed. And then when I woke up in the morning, I realized I had tweeted something. And when I looked at it, it was, I retweeted a video of JoJo Siwa dancing with like this really amazing, I think he was a choreographer. And they were doing all this crazy, really hard, fast, you know, like high level dancing. And I retweeted it and wrote something along the lines of like, in your face. And I didn't know who she was. It's not like I was a fan or even like, oh, I get it or anything. It was like I had accidentally just done this weird thing, like drunkenly, and went to sleep.
Whose face was it in?
I think I was just like writing something dumb.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
our listeners, and I'm not saying I'm one of them, who's JoJo Siwa?
Oh, JoJo Siwa is a, well, actually, I don't really know,
I just know context clues that I've gathered.
Right. What are your context clues?
Okay, she was on the show Dance Moms. Pretty sure she's an out lesbian. Mm-hmm. She loves a tight ponytail. And I believe since she was on Dance Moms, she's not one of the moms, which makes me think she's one of the dance girls.
Yes. And I think the other thing I knew about her was, because I also think she became like a YouTube-like influencer.
Okay.
Because I basically saw her, like, my niece Nora referenced her when she was like 7 years old one time. But I didn't have any kind of idea of what the conversation was. I was just like, oh, this is entertainment for children that I have absolutely no idea about anymore.
It's such a weird time where there's famous people and you know their names and none of us can pinpoint why we know them.
And they don't start, it's not like, oh, JoJo Siwa was the little sister on Happy Days. So now we all know what we're talking about. Yeah. It truly is like they're from a reality show, but they're the ones the fans liked. And then they did this thing. I mean, she was a good dancer.
Okay.
That's good.
I, like last night, there was a line at the Echo that was, so I've never seen a longer line. And it said, it doesn't matter. I had to Google who it was. It was someone's name that I didn't retain. But I had to read page and after page, and it was just a kid that got wildly popular after a viral TikTok.
Oh. Yeah, we live in such an era where there's just, like, so many people that are technically considered famous. Like, it's not the old days of three channels. I always think about, like, how people 70s and before, how famous they were. Like, they were so famous.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, it's good in a lot of ways that there's, like, more spread out for everyone to enjoy. But it's not as much of a communal, collective thing where we all know the same references.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Well, and it's almost like that's how the... like the super fan stan culture, it's almost like you have to go represent the person, like, this is who I believe in and you should too.
Yes.
It almost feels like the vibe, because it's like, right, I need that energy, because other than that, I don't know who any of these people are. And I wouldn't, like, the idea that my niece watched YouTube like it was TV, like, preferred that.
Young people do.
Yeah. It's so different than anything I'm used to, where it's like, oh, that's, she doesn't want to come and sit. I mean, she would eventually, like, watch sitcoms with my sister or whatever. But ultimately, she's in her room watching YouTube like it is TV.
You know, I was talking to someone today. I always think the past few years that, like, is stand-up going to go away? Like, as, you know, TikTok and stuff takes over. And because I wonder, because I don't see as many comedians when I do shows that are like, oh, this 19-year-old just moved to town. Like, I'm not seeing as many, like, super young.
Yeah.
It's just the old people like me sticking it out.
Well, me too.
Yeah.
But I think, like, maybe it will. I mean, I don't know. The audience is all kinds of people come, but I'm like, maybe it will be something where, like, the audiences get older and... you know, it's like, I always say, like, what's wrong with being the Eagles? You know,
like,
you can play for people your age, and if younger people are into it, they can show up. But, like, I don't want to be sitting here being like, so, kids, what are we talking about? Like, I don't care. I'd rather just talk to my people my age.
For real.
I like to think that I'm only seeing it the audiences get better and
I love
people
that.
Getting interested in stand-up. And it's the one thing that's impossible to replace. Because one time I went in, I don't know whose idea it was, but we put on a ball suit and they were making holograms of us so they could have us do stand-up projected anywhere. And I'm like, this is a terrible idea, but I'll take your money, weird guy with a yellow Lamborghini. And I knew it wouldn't work. That's as close as they've gotten. Like, it was after everyone was freaking out because Tupac in hologram form was at Coachella or something.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
This was back then. And that was such a bad idea that I decided that day that nothing could ever replace live stand-up. Yeah. But you're thinking more, will it just not be interesting to people anymore?
Right.
Yeah.
But I keep getting proven wrong is the good thing by, like, seeing... Well, at least the audiences are definitely, like... There's so many audiences and so many shows that I have done that I'm, like, really excited, but I just don't see as many, like, 21-year-old comedians or, yeah. Like, I think they just go to TikTok now.
Well, right. The weird thing that I'm seeing from short attention span, TikTok and everything, is this trend of crowd work because people don't want to burn their material.
Yeah.
Audiences now they're back to being scared to sit in the front row or they heckle. And that's like a new thing that I've seen that.
Yeah. And I'm just not good enough at improv. I believe I talked about this last time I was here. I did take an improv class over the pandemic and.
Oh, right. Your Zoom improv.
Yeah. And I sometimes will be up on stage and I'm like, I can do this. Like somebody says something in the audience. I'm like, yes.
Yes. What would you like?
Yeah, that I don't mind. It's asking for it, which inevitably means, hey, what do you do for a living, or how long have you two been together? I will never ask that ever.
Right.
I refuse to.
But isn't that the worst? Like, are you guys on a date? And then they have to go, are we? I don't know what this is. And I want to put a label on this.
Yeah, potentially ruining what they had blossoming because you confronted them about it.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Where are we going?
Well, I thought we'd go to the Starbucks drive-thru.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. I love that.
It's kind of a tradition that we haven't been able to engage in for a few years.
Yeah, do you guys have gift cards? I feel like...
No, it's been a while.
At one point, there was gift cards. Oh,
yeah, we did. We did have a bunch of gift cards for a while.
Well, now that we're back in the car...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually brought my own jug here, so I'm good.
Do you need anything from the bakery?
Yes. Perhaps a birthday cake pop?
No, I'm okay. I'm not going to make people listen to me chomp on a cake pop.
Can we confirm that a cheese Danish isn't actually cheese?
Ask.
It's cream cheese.
Okay, but sweetened.
Look at that funny bird.
Hey, funny bird.
What are you doing?
Are you injured or are you just chilling?
He looks like he's chilling and watching people go through the drive-thru.
Yeah.
Where? I don't see it.
It's a little bird on the menu, just like
totally
chilling.
Look at him.
Funny bird.
Look at you.
I really like his belly's hanging over the edge like he just had a big...
He had a cheese Danish.
Yeah. I wonder if he's like the Starbucks bird that like picks up the Danishes people throw out of their car window.
I wonder if we rolled down the window, he'd go like, get a cheese Danish.
Don't forget the cake pop.
He's the one that, no, he doesn't want to tell all of his bird friends that this is where you hang out.
Yeah.
Scraps.
He pretends he's at work, but he's here.
Maybe that's why that bird's so interesting to me, because it's just a lone bird chilling.
And staring, he was staring at it. That's what caught my attention. I was like, is this where I'm supposed to order? And then I looked up as if he was going to tell me. Like, hey, is this where I order?
Yeah, and that's why I freaked out years ago and talked about turtle eye contact. birds will do that too. They'll give you a side eye and it's aimed right at you. And I don't know why.
Wait, what's turtle eye contact?
Turtles.
You said you listened to the show.
I know.
When I first moved to my neighborhood in Echo Park, there's a lot of turtles in that lake. And, and they might be tortoises. I love them both equally. So
well, if they're in the water, they're probably turtles.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because I follow more tortoises than humans on Instagram.
Oh, so you're into them also?
I'm very into tortoises.
Hi, can I get a tall one pump hot mocha?
I'll have a grande iced coffee with some almond milk.
Annalise? Oh, no, I'm good, thank you. Oh, that's going to be it. Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, I was just talking about how much I love tortoises.
Well,
my dream is to have a backyard filled with tortoises.
Ooh.
I want that more than anything in the world.
When you say
about
filled with, how many do you mean?
To the brim. Capacity. Well, I don't know. I imagine that they'll get freaky deaky and multiply, but I just want lots of them. I just find them so majestic. They're not bothered by anything. They're so peaceful.
Yeah.
I just love them so much.
It's the demeanor more than the eyes. Hey, it's all about me. They're looking at me. I like the way they carry themselves.
The weird thing is, turtles don't do it for me. It's tortoises.
The big ones.
No, like the water. I don't like water. I'm not... Like the ones that swim around with the web feet. It's not that.
I sea
like...
turtles, yeah.
Well, I do like a sea turtle, but...
You know what? Okay. It feels like you don't.
Let's order some straws.
I follow so many tortoise accounts. It's not even funny.
Yeah, yeah.
My whole feed is just tortoises eating cucumbers and
lettuce
heads.
And... I get it. I get you wanting them to be dry. Yeah. Did you have any childhood experiences where you got to ride on a giant tortoise like a horse? Turtle, rather?
No, I can't say I ever did that.
I did. And they could actually move, yeah. It was in San Diego, and the backyard had a cave system for this giant 100-year-old huge turtle.
Wow.
That's the thing. If you do get a backyard full of them, you'll have them for so long.
Oh, they'll outlive me. They'll be in my will. Yeah. And then they'll be someone else's problem.
Every year, so many tortoises and parrots are being bequeathed.
Exactly. Yeah.
To some college student. It's like, my grandma gave me an old bird.
What?
Cut to a script.
That could be a good movie.
Written by me, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean...
For kids.
I feel like I won't, end up... looking too hard for a tortoise. I just, ask around. Anyone's grandma got a tortoise?
Yeah. get a rescue foundation situation
that's
going.
That's what I want. And I want little Pomeranians that ride on the back. Like this, that's what I want. I want to wake up in the morning with my coffee and look out my backyard and see tortoises with little Pomeranians sitting on top.
Yeah, I do like the idea of some... a symbiotic ride me backyard relationship.
All right.
Two animals. Yeah.
Well, all right.
Two animals.
All right.
I just stand in the corner and watch. I'll be over here behind this bush.
I want to go back to stand-up for a second.
Let's do it.
Because I've been doing a lot of it lately, and I've just been really into it lately.
Has it been going good?
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. I mean, I've just been having fun.
Good.
I don't know. I've just been excited about a lot of things that I've been talking about. Well, it's also because I wasn't, I haven't been talking about ghosts much. And I kind of keep the ghosts and the stand-up, separate. And so then it gave me a second to, work on some stand-up. So then I got really excited about stand-up material.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was because I had, a couple of months off from the ghosts. And how long have you guys? When did you guys start doing stand up?
In the very beginning.
Yeah.
So long, 23 years ago.
1990.
Hang on.
33 years ago.
Oh my God!
Wow, I didn't know that.
I started when I was 20.
What? Wait. Okay. So, Chris, you started in, what, the year 2000?
Yes.
Was this in Austin?
It was.
Or Missoula?
I moved
See,
to Austin.
See, I listened to every episode.
You really do.
Proven.
That's so, yeah. And I knew when I was moving, I was in an improv group, and I was enjoying that. But I moved there knowing that was, that there was a scene there, and I checked out no other scene. I just knew that there was one there. That's for my coffee.
Can I have my purse? I don't want your dumb $5.
It's wrinkly and ripped. Is that why you don't like it?
Yes.
I'll take it.
It looks counterfeit. It's soft. It's soft like a tissue. Do you think you'll bring back... Could you go to the improv lab and bring back your show? Or would you,
you
not
know, I don't like being responsible.
Yeah.
For people, oh, this person's running late and we got to find someone to... Yeah.
I wouldn't wish that on you.
I have canceled also, and I feel like I deserve people to cancel on me when I'm in charge.
Right, right.
And I just don't... I just don't want to deal with that. It's so stressful.
I have never done it. I've never been responsible for a show. It's too much for me.
I feel like when I'm hosting and producing or whatever, the last thing I'm thinking about is the performing.
Yes.
And that's like, that's not fun for me.
So. No, it becomes, when April and I had that show at the Improv Lab, it was so fun to have something that like we could rely on, that we knew we were going to do. We would see all the people we liked, we would have a fun night, all those things.
That was the good times.
But I never wrote anything. I thought it would make me write new material, and it was like the opposite, where I started treating it like a history assignment that I didn't want to get done. It's like, what am I doing? Now I'm just producing.
Are you doing it anywhere regularly?
No.
It's kind of a dumb question, because I don't go anywhere regularly.
Yeah, not regularly. I don't know why I never cross paths with you. Are you, like, on the road a lot, or...?
I've started doing, like, a... Like, kind of the Austin alt-right... Just kidding. No, I...
Thank you.
I am getting better about performing in town, but for a while I was lazily waiting until I was out of town.
I get it. I just think it's like a fun time right now. Like, I just feel like there's a lot of good shows.
I've been loving it.
It's just fun.
And I feel like I was just listening to this thing about the rise of the fascist Christian nationalists in this country.
And I jokingly just brought that up. Did you hear me say?
I didn't.
No, I backed out of my own joke.
Oh, the alt-right Austin joke? But they were talking about the reason, like, they're trying to figure out like what's going on aside from the political action, like what's going on, why people, and it's this idea, it's called something like group effervescence, where when you're in a crowd and like a singular thing happens and everyone experiences it together, it's why people love concerts. And it's why Trump people started going to all those rallies. It's this unification that we as humans need, because it's like this bonding and this social thing. And I think comedy is crucial to that for like certain people and for smart people, because it's like going and having smart people go, here's some new thoughts, not the same old shit you're hearing over and over again in like commercials or conversations or at the water cooler. Here's this crazy thing you've never put together before. And the crowd is like, fuck yeah, I love this. And everyone's having this like unified experience. So that's my theory of why, even though it's going to change because everything always does, comedy and that live performing will always be a thing.
I think you're right. We can rest assured.
And don't worry, I'm not going to ask you when we're going to see you perform.
There has been talks.
I only know every single word, even the banter to your live album.
Oh, Ross, that
you're
means
the sweetest.
World.
Yeah.
You guys know I'm like, this is my fan... a fan club thing I won to be here. I'm like the biggest fan of both of you.
Thank Aww. You.
Wait, so 1990, very big year for me. I'm not going to say why, but it was.
please do not tell me you were born in 1990.
That was in San Francisco?
Yeah, I started in Sacramento, but moved to San Francisco almost immediately after.
Oh, Okay. And who was doing stand-up in San Francisco in 1990-ish?
The headliners were like Greg Proops, Mark Maron.
Wow.
The bulldog of comedy, Bobby Slayton.
Bobby Slayton was... The over pit at bull. The punchline. Yep.
The pit bull. Get your breeds right.
How did you know he was the pit bull? Oh, that's funny.
She knows. She knows.
I'm a comedy nerd.
That's great. The pit bull.
The pit bull was there. I believe
was George... pit bull there?
I know. He was in Florida. Okay. And of course, worldwide. Yeah, there was a ton of amazing people. And then there was like...
Was Joey Gladstone there?
No. I mean, not that I knew.
Okay, wait.
Not that I would acknowledge.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Of the ice cream Gladstones?
No, but I'm telling you, there's like a millennial or two that thinks I just said the funniest thing in the world.
Oh, no.
Joey Gladstone was Dave Coulier's character on Full House, and he was a San Francisco stand-up comedian.
Oh, Joey, goddammit.
That's so funny.
So was he ever doing sets
when you were there? Thank you for explaining it. Please explain it to anyone with a false hip in the car.
I
didn't know he was a comic on that.
Yes, and his catchphrase was, cut it out.
Cut it out,
I thought that
yes.
was the kid's catchphrase. She was just mimicking her dad?
He was the uncle.
Yeah, Uncle Joey is responsible for that one.
Oh.
Which, my mind was blown when I moved here and realized, like, oh, wait, they didn't shoot that in San Francisco. Like, they didn't even, like, ever probably go to San Francisco. Like, they did the opening credits there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then everything else was probably at, like, Warner Brothers or something.
Yeah. Yeah. They were here in Burbank, probably.
Probably.
Yeah, there's just one establishing shot of a house near Dolores Park or something.
Because I was in San Francisco, like, a couple years back, and I went to some, like... live music thing, and I'm like, I wonder if this is where Uncle Jesse would perform. Like, because on the show, yeah. he was a local musician. And I'm like, wait, no! Whatever.
It's not real!
And in real life, he was drumming for the Beach Boys. Wait, did everyone on Full House, did their characters have their real life interests?
Probably.
You know, I think so, except Bob Saget's character, well, then there's also Aunt Becky, which is turned into a different storyline in real life. But she was a newscaster with Bob Saget.
Yeah.
And that is what Karen watched every morning to hear the news.
When I would get up and smoke a clove and stare out the window and then watch the local news.
Yeah, it was called Wake Up San Francisco. That's what it was called.
I'd be like, I don't want to.
Also, Uncle Joey at one point was a ventriloquist, which is another thing.
Uncle Joey was...
Dave Coulier.
Okay.
Joey Gladstone, the comedian.
The stand-up.
We were out there doing sets with.
That's so funny. Thank you for explaining that, because we just let it breeze by.
I literally was taking... I immediately pictured in my head a blonde guy. That's kind of weird. Maybe my subconscious had some idea of what you were doing, but in my head, I was just like... younger, probably hipper. I wasn't around during the Gladstone era.
The Gladstone era. Here's the deal. I have
a
date
look
tonight.
At this, Ross. Oh, I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
That was a possibility, and we need to quickly...
Okay. Well, let's look...
change the subject to that.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's do it. Okay. I need to... It became a tentative thing not that long ago. I am sort of in a flake era a little bit, and I did tell, because he was telling me, like, oh, he's, like, in Santa Monica, and then he has to drive to downtown, and then has to come back over here.
So he's busy all the time.
Or is he an Uber driver?
No, but he does live downtown, which I'm like, I'm not going there. Right. So I was like, do you want to do it some other time? Because, like, I don't want to wait for, like, because it sounds like he wants to be there later than I want to be there.
Be where?
Oh, at a restaurant.
Oh, okay. So you're going to a restaurant.
Is it
a
restaurant over here? Like, we can drop you there if it makes sense.
It is pretty close by.
This is great. Not only are we back in the car, we're actually taking you to a real...
not only that, it's my first date. being single. I haven't been on a date since before the pandemic.
Oh, my Lord.
Ooh, I love this.
This is better than a flight. Can we change the podcast to that?
Yes.
Do you need a first date?
Do you need a first date?
Yeah, and I thought I would share that with you guys because...
How do you feel? Are you nervous?
Well, okay, to be fair, I do think that COVID changed the dating world in some ways. And one way is like, first of all, I'm not meeting anybody until I FaceTime you.
Oh,
and so we already did a 2-hour FaceTime.
Ooh.
So I kind of got a lot of that out of the way. This is when...
How'd that go?
It went well enough to do a tentative dinner together.
Was the beginning, because I find FaceTime so horrifying. Every time it comes on, my phone is so close to my face and it's awful. But how do you deal with, maybe this is the way I should structure this question, how do you deal with like the awkwardness of a conversation like that? Do you have any tips or tricks?
Ooh, I'm very big on this. Now, I'm just going to be completely honest with you guys. This is my first date not in my home. I've had a person or two over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
We've met, you know, and, you know, some arts and crafts or whatever it is that we did.
Slap some glue around.
Sure.
Yeah.
Paste.
Yeah, decoupage a little bit.
That's the key word.
The guy that came over, his name was Michael. He told me he had a store.
And he had just...
And his mother, Joanne picked him up.
Of course, don't forget. And their Christian uncle, Javi. this is how I do it. First, I talk to them until I feel like they're not creepy. Like, I need to make sure you can have a conversation. I like a little bit of back and forth.
Yeah.
Whatever. Sometimes it takes longer. Mm-hmm. Actually, I don't allow it to take that long. I need to make sure I like going back and forth with you. And then I say, we got to hop over to FaceTime, which some of these apps just have it built in. So you don't even have to like exchange a phone number.
Right.
I don't want to give it away too much because then if anyone listening is going to be like, wait, she does that with other people. But usually I'm like, oh my God, you are real. I thought maybe you were fake.
No, you have to say that.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you do. There is the chance that you're being catfished.
Totally. Or that I could be a catfish, to be fair.
You could be a burglar. You could have a ski mask and a knife.
We can all be anything we want
to
be.
If we put our minds to it, we could be any criminal we want.
Yes. Absolutely. And I've had all kinds of experiences, and I'm very picky with any of this stuff, but I've had FaceTimes where I'm like, it's not going past this. Like, nope.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm also secretly psychic. I don't really like lead with that, but I am pretty psychic about like picking up vibes.
Yeah.
Also, back to comedy, I feel like comedians have to be like, you have to be good at like reading rooms and
sure.
like picking up on vibes.
Mm-hmm.
And oh yeah,
that sort of a thing. And I just am very in tune, I feel, with that. When it comes to people, living people, I'm not like a medium. I can't predict anything. I'm not gonna like. Yeah, I can't charge anyone for it, but...
That's a shame.
I know. I am definitely, like, I can just tell if I'm like, okay, you're creepy or whatever.
Yeah.
So this guy has passed the 2-hour FaceTime.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
That's
great. Yeah, that's a long FaceTime.
Yeah. So...
And after dinner, what, bowling? I don't even know. That's the hardest. My whole life, it's been the hardest thing in the world to think of date ideas.
I know. Oh, and there's Euphoria, which is a pet salon. Euphoria.
Oh, it is.
And you leave looking like the girls from Euphoria. Your dog
sparkles underneath your
eyes.
Yes,
your dog
will
have rhinestone eyelids.
It's crazy.
And a vape.
This is...
They're shameless.
So, wait, what was the thing you asked me? Oh, dates. I think this one I would just end there because I like him. I think he's good. I think we should just take it slow, you know?
When you call it quits in the FaceTime stage, are you open? Do you just kind of go, oh, I got to go. My internet just went out and unplug it. Or do you say, I can tell this isn't going anywhere, so goodbye. Like a cut and dry. So you don't have to worry about it anymore. Of course you don't. You're nice.
No, I'm pretty honest.
Well, you're still nice.
I'm just kind of like, I'm not for everyone. That's for sure. I'm a specific flavor.
Same.
But there is a man. Okay, well, first of all, let me backtrack. Another era I'm in is my cougar era.
Yes.
I'm definitely talking to guys that are younger than me.
Smart.
And I don't know. I think, like, being 6'1" and like a comedian and whatever, like I'm kind of like, what's the word? Like, I'm kind of bossy.
Yeah, yeah, you have the upper hand.
I'm kind of like, I don't like that. And I think my comedy persona too is definitely from a place of real life, and it's a side of me that's like I've been having so much fun lately yelling at audiences.
Oh my god, it's the best.
And just being like, I don't know.
It is pretty cool that you're getting dropped off in this way. At least it gives you something to talk about. Oh, I got dropped off by a mobile podcast.
Just give them something to talk about. Okay, so
Sheryl Crow should cover that song.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm bossy. God. And, you know, sometimes these guys don't like that. And I don't blame them. But sometimes they're like, yes.
They're like, hello.
Hello, I like that. But so, to answer your question, if the vibe's not right, I'm just like, you know, I'm not feeling this. And
so you do say that. I'm such a wimp. I'm scared to say I'm not feeling that.
So what do you do?
Oh, I let it go on for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm definitely dating guys that are a few years younger than me, which is, it's really interesting because I'm, you know, I'm millennial age, and there's people that are a few years younger than me that just have, like, a very different outlook. Like, their idea of, like, dating and gender and, like, all that stuff is so different than my age and older.
Yeah.
So,
in a way that's refreshing?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so much better. Yeah. And, like,
of course,
I've had a lot of experiences dating guys that are, like, my age or older that are a little bit more, like, don't tell my wife. Like,
yeah, just like, yeah.
No one knows I'm here, do they?
Oh, and don't tell my wife,
sir,
age.
Sir.
Yeah.
Sir.
Sir, go home.
Sir, please.
To your family.
Please go watch Succession.
Yeah. Why?
So, yeah, these younger guys, which I feel, it's weird because I'm not old, but they're like, there is a big difference between, millennial and, you know, people in their 20s, mid-20s.
The Gen Zs and alphas or whatever.
Yeah, there's just a lot more that are like, yeah, I'm bi, I'm pansexual, I'm whatever, no big deal. So that's great.
Yes, it is.
And yeah. I've been having fun with that.
And that age group is rarely hiding from wives. I just keep thinking of a dinner napkin over the nose like a train robber.
They all have 8 wives or whatever because they're all polyamorous.
Yeah,
but everyone's fine with it.
Yeah.
You know? So it's an interesting adjustment to talk to people that you're like, oh wow, you don't have a problem with that? I'm like conditioned to believe that like this thing is bad.
Right.
Or whatever. And they're like, well, I grew up when it wasn't. And then it is very refreshing.
Yeah.
Well, so, now I'm
it's such a huge
jealous.
Change. Yeah.
Yeah. I like them. I like that age group a lot. They keep me young.
And they're bossable. Sorry, sir. Yeah. I couldn't make a decision. That guy's mad at me.
Yeah.
They're bossable.
They're bossable.
I guess I am bossy. Well, also, like, I feel like it's easy for a lot of guys on dating apps to, or just anyone in general, just to kind of be disrespectful, or like, you know, they don't talk to you the way that they would in real life.
Right.
It's just like,
that's been,
like, they just instantly are gross, you know? Like, yeah. I'll encounter guys that are just like, what are you wearing right now?
Yeah.
And it's like, can you say hi, how are you? Like, that's how I'm bossy. That's when I'm like, no. Don't. But sometimes it's like, God, you are really cute though. So I'm like, don't talk to me normal.
Yeah.
And then if they don't, then I'm like,
and that's also a good idea. The FaceTime gets rid of that. Oh, I'm a tough guy when I'm texting, or, you know, I that's what I've never liked about email. Even if someone wants to be confronting, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, I'm not going to go back and forth with email. I'm just going to call. And then they will totally change their tune. And I...
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like the people that write the mean comments and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's looking like if I do hang out with him, it's going to be late.
Okay.
Well...
God, I love it, though. I mean, there's the possibility is really fun. And the idea that, like, you know... There's something really about an official date that's very, I realize we're all always trying to be like, no big deal, no, everything's low key. But at the same time, it's like you made it past, let's just call it phase three or whatever. And now you're in phase four, which doesn't happen that often. So it's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't even know how I feel about if I want a date. Like, that's why I'm just kind of like, whatever. Like, I just kind of am on the dating apps, and then, I don't know, sometimes someone nice pops up that I can actually have a conversation with, and I'm like, sure, why not?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Can we at least drive by the restaurant and stake
oh,
it out?
Yeah.
Practice?
I'm just kidding.
We're just going to practice.
It's here in Burbank. It's Something Vegan on Riverside Drive.
Here's
Riverside. That was my suggestion because it's one of my favorite restaurants.
Are you a vegan eater?
Yeah, I am, but I have a real sweet tooth, and so if you hand me a donut and you don't tell me what's in it, I'm not gonna ask.
Yeah, it's not gonna be.
But I don't eat meat. Or
yeah,
anything
sure.
Like that.
You
I actually
don't
went
have
to
chicken
something...
grease in your car.
No, no chicken grease, just peanut oil and stuff like that. I actually went to Something Vegan yesterday with Jackie B.
Jackie B. One of the greats.
Legendary drag queen.
You know, my first writing job I ever had was Jackie Beat was on the staff too.
Hi.
True.
I'm a historian of you people. I really am. I know everything about all of you.
I didn't know the name of the... I just thought you blurted that out, and I liked
no,
it.
No, the show was called Hype.
It was.
It was a sketch show, right?
It was.
Yeah. I mean, I hang out with Jackie constantly, and I've heard so many stories about so many things that... I'm like a biographer.
Please say hi the next time you hang out with Jackie from
me.
Oh,
yeah, all the time.
Jackie Beat is truly a genius in a way that, like, I kind of didn't understand, and it was like... I would see the work they did at that show and just be like, holy shit, how do you think of that? But then, like, have you ever seen Jackie Beat live, like, just do a show?
I have not.
She's incredible. She's also a brilliant singer, like,
so
talented.
Good. She plays Bea Arthur in the Golden Girls show that they used to do at Casitas del Campo.
Yeah, and actually, I think it's all right if I say it. There will be a run in August at the Lyric Hyperion, and I'll be playing Rose.
Wow!
Congratulations!
I've done it in the past. It's big shoes to fill, Drew Drogi. But, I'll be doing it. I'm very excited.
Oh, that's great.
That's, yeah. And where is that? At Lyric?
It's going to be at the Lyric
Hyperion. Oh, that's great.
Golden Girls was one of the first things I did out of true quarantine, like when people literally weren't going anywhere, anything.
Uh-huh.
And that show started up again. I can't remember how it all kind of played out, but I was like, I need to do this and I need to go be around actual people and stuff. Yeah. And the singing of the theme song at the beginning of that show and the audience
so
doing it all together, it was...
Oh, yeah, that would be great.
It was beautiful. It really, really helped me a lot out of, you know, 2.5 years of just like watching TV with my dog.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a big part of my like queer upbringing as an adult is like working with them and doing, I've done like the guest star roles with them since, I don't know, 2014 or 15 or something. And mm-hmm. I've done a bunch of them and then a bunch of other shows, in that basement with the same people, Jackie B, Cherry Vine, Sam Pancake, Drew Drogi. And it's just a magical little crew of just,
the best of the best, really.
Yeah, it really is like a special.
Did you do a pilot with them that I watched that was funny? And now I'm not remembering the plot, but I laughed a lot.
I don't know if I did do a pilot with them.
Maybe it wasn't. Well, how long, the thing, the lyric, is it like a run? Are you committed to
it's
multiple
weeks? It's usually like about 2 weeks, like Thursday to Sunday, maybe 8 shows or so a weekend.
Oh, that's great. So it just gets better and better.
Does that mean the Casitas Theater is gone permanently?
For now.
Oh, they're gonna figure out a way to build a fire exit?
I don't know. I don't know the exact details. But I'm hopeful.
I am too, because God, I love that place so much. I mean, Lyric Hyperion's great, and like, we've all done shows and whatever. Yeah. But there's something about Casitas because it is downstairs, which is very like that Rathskeller comedy room. That's like where I started too. And it just is, I just love the vibe.
It just feels like the kids are in the basement playing as the parents
low
are upstairs.
Ceilings,
yes.
Very low ceilings, which I love.
I require them.
Yeah.
Drew and Sam did that show when they were the spiritual leaders of the gurus. And they were doing riffs, like naming different parts of the audience, giving them names. Uh-huh. And at one point, Sam just goes like this to like the top row of people and is like, the original cast of The Sandlot. And it was like one of the funniest. It's just like, that's how comedy's not going anywhere. Live performance isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
People need that shit.
That is so funny.
It's so good.
Yeah, anyone, I forgot people are listening to us. If anyone listening doesn't know what we're talking about, this place, Casita del Campo, it's in Los Angeles, area called Silver Lake, and it's family-owned Mexican restaurant. The food is great.
So good.
It is, the decor is so fun.
Now I know where you're talking. It's right down the street from Lyric.
Yes,
right next
to it. I love
it
there.
It's
a
pink building and the most gorgeous mosaic tables and very queer, but you know, open for everyone. And
in
the basement, there's a little theater. And
I didn't know that.
Yes, it's so great. It's the perfect size, too, because it's what, like 100?
Even less, maybe 70 or something like that. I used to do my podcast live down there because they say it's haunted.
Oh,
no,
really?
Yeah, I would have like psychics and we'd do like Ouija boards and stuff down there and live on stage.
Wait, Rouse, should we spend a little bit of time talking about your podcast just for the marketing aspect of
The cross-marketing. Congratulations.
Yes.
Being an exactly right family member.
Yes,
family, well, did I say
welcome
that?
To the
can
family.
Can we talk about it?
Yeah, because this comes out like a week after.
Oh, my God. Well, my tongue's bleeding over here from biting that. Now you tell me. Yeah, it is a true dream.
Yay.
I have to tell you, like, everybody that you got over at This Exactly Right Thing. They make me feel so special.
Oh, yeah.
They make me feel so appreciated and just excited. It's just really, like, an exciting place. The morale is high.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, good.
It's been a dream working with everybody.
Yeah.
I have no notes whatsoever. Like, I'm not even kidding you.
Aww.
No notes. And, like, there was a thing just the other day where they were kind of showing me some wording of something that I could say. And I was like, I've had so many people be like, here's something that you should say or whatever that I'm like, I would never say right. that. And I was looking at this and I'm like, this is the first time ever. This is like, this sounds like me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm like, you must have spent so much time listening to my podcast and like, right. I just really.
I felt that way when I read the promos we recorded the other day.
Yeah.
It was in our voices. Well, yes. Attention is being paid.
Yeah, attention is paid. And by people, you know, we have an amazing Allison and Aaron, the marketing, but Aaron Brown, who she writes those scripts and Allison, you know, they vet all that stuff, but they dive in. Like it's the approach is obviously the approach of like a fan. Like you have to love a show to add it to your mix, because it's like now we're all working together, so like
yeah,
get into it and know the voice. And I know that's it's so nice. I love those guys so much. They do such an amazing job.
When you get things up and running, I if you need a guest, I did stand up at a haunted the Renwick Mansion in Davenport, Iowa, and so I can talk about that. I don't want to give away anything,
nice.
But let's just say some doorknobs jiggled. Okay. Yeah. And mostly I scared myself, but the vibes were there, and I don't want to give away anymore. There was an abandoned psych ward.
Stop
okay.
talking.
I'm done. Okay. I just wanted to give away some visuals.
Wow. I'm very excited to hear about your jiggly doorknobs.
Okay, I'm done.
No, that's great.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, this whole thing, dreamcity.com.
We feel lucky to have you.
And no, it's just, thank you. Well, and I'm so passionate about the show that, like, to have other people be really into it, too. It's like, it just feels great.
Yeah,
it,
right?
It feels really, really nice.
To actually have your art appreciated and supported. It's,
yes.
it's really quite something. As a person who did it for a long time, kind of with none of that, it's like, yeah, it really makes a huge difference.
Well, and what I do is so, like, to me, it makes a lot of sense that people would be like, oh, what a fun, like, concept. Like,
yeah.
oh, ghosts and, like, celebrities and laughter and
yeah.
queerness and whatever else. And but sometimes, like, people are like, wait, what is this? Like, I don't know. They just, like, don't get what it is.
So and you're like, hang up that FaceTime call. Goodbye.
Bye. I bring up my podcast every time I FaceTime these guys.
Well, honestly, it wasn't until I did your podcast that I even asked myself if I'd had any experiences.
Well, that's what's so fun about it,
too. And then I realized I had.
Yeah.
That's, I love to have people on that, you know, everyone's so used to being asked the same kinds of questions all the time or whatever. Like I asked you guys, when did you start doing stand-up?
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, it's fun to see how excited people are to talk about the jiggly doorknobs.
Yes.
Like, I love to hear people telling stories that they've never told before and then thinking about it. And then, you know, I get a lot of people that go, oh, yeah, there was this one time. I completely forgot about this. And
yeah.
I don't know. I'm just really into the conversations. And it opens up a lot of deeper conversations about cultural beliefs and religious beliefs
right.
and our upbringings and science and history.
All things that weren't really addressed in my home. Like the spirituality and all of that was just kind of... I've ignored it for most of my life.
Yeah. And
you've opened me up, and it's the reason I'm now a Latter-day Saint. Just kidding.
And I think it's to me, the show is like a survey of what different people believe. Because I don't have any agenda with it. Like, I'm not really trying to make people believe. I think it's up for the audience to decide. But hearing different people, upbringing is a huge part of it, I think, a lot of times. But it's interesting when, like, you weren't raised to believe in it, but then it still happens. Like, I don't know. That, to me, is kind of, like, validating or whatever, if that seed isn't planted in your head young. There's just so many different types of conversations that we can have that all kind of turn into this, like, list of different things that could be true or not true.
Or like what you have experienced versus what is believed or understood, where it's kind of like, I don't think when I tell the story that I told on your show when I was on it.
Iconic.
It's like my, and I think I probably said it, but it's like, I never am wanting people to believe me. I don't give a shit if they believe me or not. I know what happened.
Totally.
And it's that kind of thing where it's like, sometimes people feel really defensive or really, sorry, I'm going down there. Sorry, sir. That's, you're right.
He read your lips.
You're right to look at me like that. Yeah. But yeah, it's that feeling where it's just like, but it is so fun to go, I understand that this is hard to believe, but I'm still going to tell you what happened to me because like it only happened to me. And so
totally.
Like, it's really fun to be able to go like, can you believe this happened to me, to a person that's open to hearing it.
Yeah.
But you also had other people that you lived with that experienced.
Yes,
that,
I did.
Which is always validating. But that's why like sometimes people will be like, yeah, I don't believe in that stuff. And I'm like, well, I still think that the show is an interesting thing because you'll probably find somebody that's been a guest that you enjoy or like are a fan of or whatever, and just hearing a good story from them, first of all. Like, it's just good storytelling.
Yes.
But also, it's like, nobody has any reason to make any of this stuff up. It's just their experiences. And I don't know. I think it's good to be skeptical of this stuff. Why not? We shouldn't just, like, assume everything is true, but it's just fun to ponder and like think yes. about the different possibilities of it.
Yeah.
Well, and also the kind of like, I don't know what I would have said before I had that experience, but then now when other people try to say it and the people who have to say things like, I don't believe in any of that stuff, it's just like, well, I'll talk to you when it happens to you,
right.
because it's happened to a ton of people. Right. And like, just because it hasn't happened to you doesn't mean it isn't a possibility in the world. I'm here to tell you it is a possibility
right.
in the world.
Yeah.
For most of my life, I said, I don't believe in any of that stuff. And then now in retrospect, I'm like, oh, there were several instances where clearly
something was
that
going
was a
down.
Ghost. Yeah.
Well, it happens all over the world, all throughout time. Like, it so many people say that they've had these experiences. I feel like the last survey that they did, I want to say, said like it was over half people believe that it's possible, like paranormal experiences.
Yeah.
And so it's like, there's gotta be something there. Like, I think every single person knows somebody if you asked
yes.
around.
We get, and on My Favorite Murder, we get hometowns where people are like, my grandma told me she would send me a sign, and then they say this very specific thing, and it's not just like the light blinked. It's literally like, and then this thing happened that she used to do, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, sure, people could be lying. People could always be lying.
Right.
But what is the idea of like a story? It's such a good story to think mm-hmm. this person that you loved so much is gone and they're somewhere else going, hey, I still think about you.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah.
I know. And that's what I love about it. It's like so much of it can be spooky. Sometimes it can be like heartwarming.
Yeah. I think it was for me also not experiences, but so much when someone dies, like when my mom died, you're like, well, there has to be some spiritual element to this. I refuse to believe that. And then you can feel it. And it's like, okay, well, that wasn't necessarily a haunting, but it's something that you can feel.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, and you can't put it into words and convince someone else.
It's yeah, and like when I ask around to people to be guests on the show, like sometimes they don't have a Karen Kilgariff level story.
I gotta
epic
hear it.
Tale, but it might just be like a short, because most of the time these things are like little things that happen. They're
yeah.
not like big long stories,
right?
But it makes one believe like, oh, there could be more.
Yeah,
there could be more out there. Maybe one day I'll live in a house like Karen Kilgariff.
Yeah.
Anyone can live in that rental house in Sacramento if they
I'm
have
so that episode when you were on, I'm telling you, that is
what
I was
empty?
I was recording in my shower during the pandemic, and it just, the audio is so bad, but it's like the best story ever.
We'll have to revisit.
Oh, that would be a dream.
Yeah.
Anyway, so well, here we are at my mansion.
When is your, when is that the Golden Girls show run?
August sometime.
Sure.
Follow me at Roz Hernandez and sure. I'll tell you there.
Is that all your handles on everywhere we can find you?
Yeah. I don't know. My TikTok is at It's Roz Hernandez, but I'm mainly just Instagram.
Yeah.
Even if I post a TikTok, I'll put it on Instagram.
I love TikTok.
Yeah.
It's the best.
I love Roz.
I love Roz, too.
Oh, my God. Why don't you guys marry me, then?
I can't. You're going on a date.
I'm Holly.
Good to see
well,
you.
You've been listening to DVRI.
D-Y-N.
A-R.
Are you leaving? Are you
This has been an Exactly Right production.
Produced by Annalise Nelson.
Mixed by Edson Choi.
Our talent booker is Patrick Kottner.
Theme song by Karen Kilgariff.
Artwork by Chris Fairbanks. Follow the show on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Dynar Podcast. That's D-Y-N-A-R Podcast.
For more information, go to exactlyrightmedia.com.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Follow Do You Need a Ride on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you like to listen so you never miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, rate and review the show.
And visit the exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Do You Need a Ride merch.